And so what we've been talking about is just practical ways of changing our thinking, changing our habits, and learning how to become biblically and naturally successful where God can bring wealth and where he can bring prosperity to our lives. And have you been receiving anything for yourself out of this series? I know I have. Amen. So last week we were talking about kicking the dependency syndrome. And what we talked about specifically was that a lot of folks, the average person, blames externals for their situation, as well as learning how we talked about to become a resource to others and how to embrace opportunity when it comes. If you missed any of our previous messages, feel free to check online. We have our videos on Facebook as well as our website at destinychurchwnc.com, so you can catch up when you get a minute. But the reason I had the video up this morning is because we're going to talk about how we can become gold. And how do we become gold? Well, obviously we can see that, Barb, if you don't mind putting it on the title screen in our first scripture. As you can see, a gold mine is not glistening with gold just out there ready to be picked up off the ground. There's a lot of science that goes behind it, a lot of research, people who have studied for years on how to pick out the minerals in the rock. I mean, to the average person, it looks like just a big old pit of dirt, doesn't it? But when they start looking down using computers, finding out where gold actually is sitting, then they know exactly where to put the blasting fluid, and they work it out so that it creates, strategic fractures through the ground so it's easily dug up. Then you saw the process of how they took the rock, they washed it in many different kinds of solutions and slurries just to separate it. And then even with the finalized bar you saw at the end was still not pure gold. So they still had to take it on another trip to walk through another process to become 100% gold. Now, if you look at a piece of jewelry or a watch, you know, obviously they don't give you a chunk of gold and say, now figure it out, right? They take that pure gold and they begin to melt it down and shape it and mold it. And so it takes a long time. Let's talk about the time though that the gold was actually in the ground, right? Being formed by the minerals, collecting, and how God has placed that in our own earth to provide provision for people in profit. And it's interesting how he has created the earth to be a resource to mankind. And so our scripture that we've been really just centering on all of this is Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And the word that we're looking at is prosper. Poverty was never God's idea, nor is he in favor of it. And it's not that he is upset with anyone who is living or experiencing that level of living. He says this is unsatisfactory, especially for my kids. It does not make me happy as a mom when my kids go without, right? And so Aaron and I will try to figure out how we can supply that need. Amen. And that's God's heart. He says, this doesn't make me happy seeing how you're struggling. And so let me help you by giving you the tools to reposition yourself so that our thinking and our habits and our lifestyle can come up so that literally the success and wealth becomes simpler, easier, because we know how to get it. Amen. So if I were to be sent out there to the field, I would be so confused and lost, right? And when we don't know how, we try to muddle our way through just trying to make it work, right? When you're given a new job and they say, okay, just go do this, that, and the other thing. And you're like, okay, but I haven't been trained. I have no idea. And you feel confused. You feel flustered. Anybody feel that way about your finances? I feel confused. I feel flustered. I feel frustrated. But then when you go through school and you become educated and you work your way through the industry and you've worked in job after job after job and then you're given promotions, well, then you walk onto the site and you're going, oh, that's simple. And see, this is why God says, keep my word in front of you. Because his success, his victory is actually simple. And so what we've been learning is that, one, we must do it his way, not our way, not the world's way. Though there are principles in the word that are being implemented in the world, we need to do it his way and keeping him first. Amen. Not chasing the money, not chasing the bills and making sure that they're paid. You flip it around and say, all right, God, I'm going to chase you. And you're going to supply the need. Amen. We need to keep the word of God in our mouth. Remember Joshua 1:8 that we were looking at. We must always keep the word in front of us and be careful to do everything that he tells us to do. And what he said to Joshua is that then you will have success. So basically, it's a given. If you just do what I say, meditate on the word, and speak it out of your mouth, you will have success. But what if I just do the word and I meditate on it, but I don't speak it? You're missing a part of it. But I feel awkward speaking the word. This is where we need to go ahead and get comfortable with it. Well, what if I just meditate on the word and speak it, but I don't do it? Then you're missing a part of it. So we have to make sure that we're staying constant. Consistent with the way God designed it. So before we go any further, we're going to pray. Amen. Father, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, teacher, helper, comforter. You are our advocate and standby. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here speaking through me the utterances of God. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And also, Father, that you would enlighten our spiritual eyes, Father, in the word, in the knowledge of you, giving us revelation. Help us, Father, to have those light bulb moments, Lord, the aha moments where we weren't sure as how things were going to work, but then you just show it and it makes sense, Father. And so, Lord, as we make these adjustments in our heart, I thank you, Father, that wealth and finances and success and needs are just initiated and put into place, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that when our faith is turned on like a light switch, Lord God, with expectation, Father, you meet us right where we are. And I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just like when we teach the word of God and somebody realizes they need a savior, is the same way it works when we teach the word of God and someone receives their healing right where they're sitting. It's the same way when we hear the word of God and all of a sudden our faith for finances is risen and money starts moving on your behalf. You need to understand that natural things are only a depiction of what's going on in the spirit realm. And I've learned for myself, if I'm not seeing God's promises here in the natural, I got to fix some things in the spiritual. Because as soon as I line myself up with God's word and become obedient, it's easy. I'm not joking. It becomes simple. Now, you may have to stand on the word and you may have to wait. But the actual results, the receiving of his promise becomes a reality. And it becomes simple. And where you've been struggling for 15 years is so easy that in 6 months, it shows up in your hand after making adjustments and you're going, what took me so long? And sometimes what finds for myself is pride. Pride that says, no, God, I've got this. Pride that says, no, I don't want to walk in love. Pride that says, no, God, I don't want to give because I'm afraid that you're not going to take care of my needs. I mean, can we get real? Because essentially, we don't want to admit that we're telling God we don't trust him. It's an unspoken. But he knows in our heart that we're not willing to let him do what he said he was going to do. Amen. See, inside each and every one of us, there is gold that needs to be dug out. And just like God placed it in the earth, he placed it in you. And society is filled with average people everywhere. The average person surrounds themselves with other average people. And yet the average person has a desire to see their lives come to an above average level. But apples plus apples do not equal oranges. Amen. If you squeeze an apple, you're going to get apple juice, not orange juice. Amen. So a leader, however, will always do things differently. A leader does not follow the mainstream of everyone else. This is why they get criticized. This is why they get ridiculed, because they're looking to go the way of the salmon when everyone else is flowing with the cod and with the other trout. They're just, oh, it's just easy going this way with the flow. Oh, no, see, a leader says, no, not going that way. I'm going to forge my own path. In order for others to want to follow us, however, the leader must have developed qualities that others want to follow. So thinking processes and habits and behavioral patterns the average considers worth following. Ooh, I like what he does. Ooh, I like how she says that. Ooh, I like how he carries himself. Those things that grab your attention, that's why you have people on TV making millions of dollars, because what they offer is attractive to the average person. You will look like a gold nugget buried in the middle of our society to the average person if you have great thinking processes, great habits, and great action. But you must be willing to walk through the gold-making process. You must be willing to walk through some heat, some pressure, some energy to refine yourself. And see, this is where a lot of believers, on a spiritual note, will check out. Because when the Holy Ghost is leading us to drop some things, to purge some things, when we start walking towards a season that we feel pressure or we feel some heat or resistance, we're going, God, this can't be you. When he says, no, see, you don't understand. When I was with the three Hebrew children, the fire never touched them. But when they walked out on the other side, they were better for it. And the rest of society saw the representation of God that stood shining like gold. And see, when we always want to check out when it gets difficult, we'll never become gold. And so sometimes we hate discomfort. Well, I should say we never like discomfort. I don't like being hungry, right? I don't like being thirsty or tired or cold or hot, right? But when we in the natural are okay with just saying, nope, don't complain. We're going to figure this out. We're going to be patient. We're going to ask the Lord to provide, right? Or when your kids are going, I'm hungry. And you see the fact that you're sitting in the drive-thru line and there's like three cars in front of you. You're trying to help your child understand. Look, the food is waiting. We're just waiting for the people to get out of the way. But your three-year-old's going, I'm hungry. Right? Well, when we in the spiritual say, God, I'm hungry. He's like, look, if you'll just sit and wait for a minute, I'm trying to get it to you. But don't get out of the car just because you can't see what's happening in front of you and you lose your patience. Because once you step out of the car, what is some, like some parents say, oh, you could walk home then. Right? Get out, walk home, right? And so God's going, look, if you get out of the car, you're going to have to figure it out on your own. And I don't want you to struggle. And when you look at children, I don't want you to get hit by a car. And what does life do? Runs us over. When we step away from doing it God's way, when he's just like, look, just sit down, buckle up, let me drive. Jesus, take the wheel. But we have to learn how to know him in the area of money as much as we know him in other areas. Anybody has seen God come through for you? If he will do it for you in one area, he'll do it in another, and in another, and every. But we've got to do it his way. Amen. So human nature, like I was just describing, wants us to take the easy road. Man, that's tough. I don't know if I want to go that route. I just want the job that gives me $20 an hour, but I don't know if I want to go back to school. Right? Why can't they just see the qualities that I already have? Why can't they see the value that my family has for me? Right? When an employer is looking at what you can bring in value to the company, they're not really interested emotionally in how you handle, you know, dinner at home. They don't. But I love my family. That's great and all, but what can you do for our company? Right? So we're going to give the $20 job to someone who is qualified, not someone who may feel like is qualified. So most employers or workers, or employees, not employers, do their own version of what their boss expects. This is the average person. Most workers do their own version of what their boss expects. So basically, here's what I need you to do. All right, well, let me just interpret it for what's easy for me. I'll just go do that. And hopefully you'll be satisfied. And then it's my right and privilege to have a job, so you're not going to fire me just because. They don't do much less because they want to keep their job, but they don't do much more, so they really only just add enough value that will keep you on, but not exceed the expectation to where they say, man, we got to put them on the schedule more often. Man, we got to give them a raise. Man, we got to promote them so they can oversee some employees. So once the job is done, then the average person will go to indulge in what they enjoy, maximizing on personal pleasure as soon as they clock out. Hey, what are we doing at 5 o'clock tonight? Hey, let's go out to eat. Hey, where are we staying over the weekend? There's nothing wrong with that, but do you see the cycle? I clock in Monday through Friday, only give just enough so I don't lose my job. Then as soon as I'm out, man, I'm out. And I'm going to go get my favorite Coke Zero, and I'm going to go sit down and watch my favorite show. And I don't care what they're doing after work. And so if we just indulge in our pleasure, 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 we're never growing. We're never going through a pressure and a heating and a refining process, because all it is about the moment. It's always about, let me get some comfort and pleasure before I have to clock in again tomorrow. Because this is just the routine. This is just the cycle. I'm going to make my favorite meal because I just want some comfort. Even though the Lord's been telling me, you need to cut back on some things. Readjust your eating because I've got other things planned for you. But man, my job's just so hard. I just want to eat and drink whatever I want. I want to sleep in as long as I want, even when I made a commitment over the weekend, because it's just about me. Me, me, me. So that's the average person. But if you want to be that gold nugget, you're going to have to kick this type of thinking to the curb. And so those that lead do not spend every evening being entertained. They either keep working or they spend time, money, and energy learning to be better. So there are those leaders that don't even have average habits. Anybody hear the story of Warren Buffett and how he got to where he was or where he is? Simple things, but not average. While his friends at the age of being a boy we're out just sledding and doing what boys do, he's out there trying to make a buck. That's not average at 9 years old, right? And today, and I've even heard parents say it, well, you're going to be working for the rest of your life. Just go enjoy your childhood. What is Warren worth now? Like billions? And so the thing is we need to understand as an American society that work is not going to kill us. And actually, work ethic is something that we need to train in our children so that work becomes pleasure. And as we work for the things that we become, that we put out there for goals, we check them off, check them off, check them off, so that when we are in our retirement age, we're not still trying to figure out where the income is coming from. God doesn't want us to struggle. God wants us to be successful. And again, this is from the context of the Word of God. Not that you sit down and retire and check out of society, but you continue to bring value, value, value. And when you get to the point of retirement and you have the attitude that says, well, I've done all I'm supposed to do, I'm checking out. All these people, they can deal with their own lives. That's not God's heart either. My goodness, if you don't have to work, do you know what you can do for the community? I mean, start with volunteering, but how about so many other things? Praying for your church, your pastors, serving in your community, helping in any capacity that God puts in your heart. I mean, there's so many things. And what we're talking about is that the average person is self-absorbed with pleasure. That's what we're about. And when we feel like someone interrogates us or invades our pleasure, we feel threatened. How dare you ask me to give any part of my weekend? This is my weekend. But I need help to move. Bringing value to your friend by helping them move helps them know that they've got a friend during the moment that nobody else wants to lift a hand. But they're excited about their transition. And by showing up, you are supporting their dream, their vision, their transition. And listen, transition is where you find yourself the loneliest. Because nobody's on the same path as you. You have to understand that we walk through several seasons through our life. And many seasons are where we all gather in Times Square. Basically, we're all intersecting one another. And it's busy and we feel like we got a lot of friends around and we're doing things and having fun. But you will eventually get to the point where it turns into a fork in the road. And you've got to make the decision. God is leading me this way and you're going that way. And you're going to have to say goodbye to some people. You have to know that relationships are not all the same. Marriage is the only one besides you and God that goes for longevity. But you will have friends that will enter your life and stick around. But I think I have about maybe less than two hands of friends in that category. Then you have friends that you meet at an early stage of life, and they exit your life. Then they come in your 20s and 30s, and then they exit. They might come during a season where you're having a trial. You've never met them before, but they just had the exact word that you needed to hear. And then you become like a mentorship type of relationship where they carry through a little bit longer. I mean, there's so many different types of relationships. But we need to also understand that through the refining process, anybody that we've picked up along the way that never had to be a part of our lives or needed to be a part of our lives, God will put on your heart to say you need to release those. Release them. Believe in them, pray for them, but release them. Because I'm trying to purify you. I'm trying to refine you. And those people in your life are nothing but ore, and I'm trying to get 100% gold out of you. They're trying to stick, and they're keeping you from being the gold nugget I'm trying to make you into. We have to not be confused between emotion and the Spirit of God. God, His presence will affect our emotions, but He does not move through emotion. He knows how hard it is when we build relationships and we're supposed to sever them. He understands. I mean, look at Judas He was betrayed. And then he hung himself, and he knew, Jesus knew, if he just came back to him like Peter did, it would have been a completely different situation. So Jesus knows exactly what it feels like. Amen. And why I went that direction is I felt led to just touch on this, that when God is trying to refine us, we cannot use the excuse of our externals, of why we are in the situation we're in. We can't use the excuse of relationships that are keeping us back. We cannot use the excuse of not having enough. We cannot use those excuses, because God says, if I can just have your heart, I can change everything else. So poverty mentality basically is a passivity towards issues. Blaming others, complaining about them, feeling sorry for ourselves. It makes the problem worse, especially for those who are poor. See, it is true that life isn't fair. It is true that society is full of problems. And it is true that many people are in situations that they did not cause. Yes, I get it. It's true. But when we feel sorry for ourselves, it makes it worse. No matter where you go in the world, you will find those with a poverty mentality full of clutter in their homes. I've had to check some things in my own heart. I mean, we're talking practically. Clutter. Collections of junk they don't even use or no one wants to use. What is that? Right? You know, when you hear that term, someone's junk is another person's treasure. Well, when that junk never turns into treasure for anybody, and it's in your house, like, you need to get rid of it. Pitch it. Why are you hanging on to this? Simple maintenance isn't taken care of. Well, you know, it just clunks every now and then. So you put up with it instead of actually getting it fixed. They all have cell phones, though, and they all have televisions, and they all have social media. Nobody in this room, I know, because I've got a TV, and I've got an iPhone, I've got social media, but man, I'm like studying this and I'm going, oh, yikes. You say, well, what's so wrong with clutter? It's not about the piling up. It's about a mentality. It's about saying, well, this is our home. Don't judge me. This is how we live. What, you want me to keep my house like a magazine cover? We got kids in the house. Like, it's just doesn't make sense. No, but at the same time, it's like when you present yourself to a job interview. Do you want them to judge your appearance and think that's who you really are? And so you take your time to do your hair. You make sure that the clothes you're wearing are nice because you want to put out your best impression. Well, what about when somebody shows up on your front door for the first time? They've never been to your house before, and you've got clutter everywhere. A lot of people would say, well, don't judge me. Excuse the mess. This is just who we are, right? And so then you go to their car, and you're going, because I used to live out of my car, didn't I? I used to live out of my car, y'all. And I'd be like, here, let me shift everything to the back seat so I can take you somewhere. Like, I did. And it was just so easy. It's just easy. It's just easy, right? But then nobody wanted to ride with you, even though the seat was empty, because something be stinking in the back seat. And it doesn't look nice. And especially when you're trying to go to church, like people be trying to look good before they go to service and they want to sit in your car and they're like, what is all over my clothes? Right? It just gives you that sense of, But not that you have an attitude of, I'm going to criticize and nitpick you and judge you. But there's a sense that says, I don't care. And gold nuggets care. And I'm not trying to appease society in order to have you accept me. Understand. But when I represent Christ, when I represent my family, when I represent a specific name, when I represent my job and the company and my boss, see, I'm going to go higher in life. And so when I present myself better. My home looks beautiful. And don't get me wrong, you know, there might be a toy out of place or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dishes always piled up and trash in the corner. I mean, like, things that just don't get done. And I'm guilty to the T, guilty. And so what it does, though, is it puts off a sense that I'm not looking to change. I'm not looking to come out of this. And a lot of times it boils down to a I feel sorry for myself attitude. This is where I live. Look, I'm talking from a place that I know. I don't want people shouldn't expect too much from me anyway. Amen. I know I've thought those things. And so some habits that we can build on is, first of all, getting up on time. Even if you don't have a job, put a schedule out for yourself so that you have expectation to seize the day. The day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice, not just waste it away. He's given me this day for a purpose, so I want to go fulfill that. How about show up on time? Look presentable. Have a good attitude when you arrive to work or wherever you're going. Serve, not just take while you're there. It takes time to replace bad habits and thinking, obviously. But going from poverty to average is available for everyone, just as well as going from average to gold is available for anyone. So the desire, however, to do so must be bigger than staying comfortable, so that you are able and willing and ready to embrace the changes that are required to get there. Whatever it takes, God, whatever it takes, I want to get there. So how we behave, how we look in public shows our level of thinking, whether we're professional or casual, whether we're a leader or just average. What we discuss over a meal shows who we're eating with, how close to the average person we really are. Are we talking about resolving challenges and visions and dreams and maybe exposing life lessons to our kids? Or are we just spewing discontentment, news, fads, and gossip? So you can see automatically as I talk about these things what's higher and what's average. So these meals, 30 minutes or less, can be places where you interject and build and give life to people that you are sitting with. So we need to analyze our thought processes, our habits, one by one. And the Holy Spirit will help us. Then we need to upgrade in order to go from average to gold. See, there is no ceiling and there is no limit to how far we can go. The day we stop, though, making these consistent improvements is the day that we set the level that we will live for the rest of our life. And so you can't think that once I reach a certain age or a certain educational level, I just can check out, plug out, and that's it. No, we've got to keep changing. We've got to keep growing. We've got to keep learning. See, Napoleon Hill, and I have a slide up on the screen, says, "More gold has been mined from the thoughts of men than has been taken from the earth." And then John C. Maxwell said, "Success comes to those who have an entire mountain of gold that they continually mine, not those who find one nugget and try to live on it for 50 years." So think about what he's saying here. If I am constantly digging, learning, growing, hungry, wanting to progress, then that's a mountain of gold that I'm looking for. Instead of saying, oh, I learned it, I arrived, I'm done. And so 50 years down the road, you're still talking about 50 years ago. It's not as an attractive quality as someone who is constantly digging and finding gold. Look what I can offer. Look at the value that she has, that he has. And it's fresh, it's new, it's constant. Man, every time I get with you, like, I feel lifted up, I feel encouraged. You helped me. People are actually willing to pay for that because you bring value to their life. You see, God, I can't find a way to make money. Ask him for wisdom on how you can bring value to people's lives. And you don't have to just rely on a steady paycheck that comes from a specific person or entity at a set wage. You can break free, break through that ceiling. Because God has a million and one ways he can bring money to you. It's just learning how to think like he thinks. Learning how to live the way he lives. So continuous learning. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice, and many advisors bring success. Well, it's none of their business. Yeah, but how much easier, how much further, how much quicker could you get there if you have people who are filled of the Spirit, but then also who are naturally and secularly educated that know their stuff to help you get to where you're trying to go? What could have taken 20 years could take you 5 instead or less because of what they know, because of what the Holy Spirit can speak through them, instead of trying to dig your way through all by yourself. And see, that would be a level of pride as well. To say, well, I don't want them to think that I don't know what I'm doing. Well, actually, they've already discovered that they don't. And that's why they're successful, because they've asked for help. You have to understand that people don't just wake up wealthy. They fail. They go bankrupt. They make mistakes. But they continue on. They ask for help. They gather resources. They study and study and study until they get it right. They never stop learning. And they're not afraid to expose their weaknesses. If everything you know, for example, is outdated, it's time to reface those things. See, that's why a lot of people in the medical field, they have recertifications. Recertifications. Why? Because they're making new discoveries. They're updating the medicine and vaccinations and other things, and how doctors diagnose and things that they've learned. They're updating. Would you want a doctor that stopped learning 20 years ago to perform medicine on you when he's back there and they've made some discoveries 20 years since? No, because he's not up to date. What about computers? Right? Get retrained. Even on a daily basis, what, our PS4 gets downloads and updates and all this stuff, right? They're constantly updating. So with ourselves, we need to constantly be updating our information on business, updating information in our career field. What are people doing? How about in the job that you have, you're updating yourself with information about how your boss is doing what they're doing and how they got there. What's the goal? Learn what they're doing, and then you will see yourself there in the future. See, our last point today is pioneers, settlers, and museum keepers. There's 3 different kinds of people in this earth. A pioneer is the one who goes ahead of others, isn't afraid, tries new things, takes risks, and continues to learn. That's a pioneer. How about a settler? A settler is someone who watches the pioneers, and then they try to copy the best ideas. Oh, that looked good. I think we'll try that. But they don't make any new progress, and they don't take much risk. They play it safe. They wait until something new becomes mainstream before they embrace it. Make sure there's no flaws, and we're not going to fail. We want to make sure that everybody else fails who tried it, and then we'll follow that. And then lastly, a museum keeper. It's the person who never wants to change. They like the norm, the status quo. They like what's comfortable. They'd rather dwell on memories than think of new ideas. It's hard to help them unless the pain of staying behind gets too bad. And yet still, they might make some changes, but with a lot of resistance. And so this is why you have to understand, if you're a pioneer, you will always get the criticisms of the museum keepers. Because they're not willing to put themselves where you are, where it's uncomfortable, where they've lost things, where you've sacrificed many things, in the dream of receiving reward of what you're chasing. Museum keepers will always criticize. Settlers will always criticize because they can't see how that's going to work. But then the settlers will be like, oh yeah, I knew that was going to work. That was a great idea. I'm so glad that it worked for you. I'm going to try that too. So you have to understand that being a pioneer, you're going to find yourself out there by yourself. But don't let that stop you. Because what you're doing is you're actually paving the way for the settlers and the museum keepers. But here's what you also have to be aware of. Any pioneer can also become a settler or a museum keeper if they don't stop pursuing. You get comfortable, right? So you turn into a settler. Oh, I'm good. We're good here. We're good. And then you turn into a museum keeper when you start talking about, oh yeah, man, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that was a good time. That was a good time. Remember the church, man, back in the 80s? That was awesome. Okay, well, what about 2020? That's where we are now. So we don't need to be dwelling in the 80s. That was then, right? How about in the business world? Right, man, I miss that restaurant. It was replaced by this restaurant. And you know why? Because the old restaurant wasn't able to change with the times. They weren't able to adapt to a new society. See, we have to be pursuing or we will be overtaken. Leaders continue to read. They continue to learn and grow. Otherwise, others will pass them by. And your best followers can outgrow you if they're hungry. If you stop growing, they will look for more advanced leaders or branch out on their own. Be like, look, everything you've done for me has been great. And I love it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. You helped me get to where I am. But I'm going to go over here now and do my thing. Because I hit a ceiling with my leader. So where are we going next? And if the leader turns into a settler, it's like, oh, we're not going anywhere? Man, I'm hungry. I got to go pursue some things. So I love you, and we don't have any bad words between each other, but I got to go do something else because I need to keep going. So some ways to grow, and we're going to close with this. We can read for improvement, not just entertainment. We need to find resources intentionally to help us grow in the areas that we need to grow. And growth can actually become a habit so that what you learn can be put into practice. And this needs to be the process. I look for resources to help me grow. I apply it. And then I put it into practice and watch success come. I need to continue to grow. Knowledge not acted upon becomes useless information. Because the information piling up in our brains, in our hearts even, when it comes to the word, what does the Bible say? Only the doers. Only the doers are blessed. So that's great that we know a lot of things. But how are you using that to bring value to people? That's the key. It's not about what we know or how many even degrees we have on the wall. It doesn't matter if we're not bringing value to society. So listen, a lot of listening of news and stories, even books or resources that were written only to sell, you do realize that a lot of the things we see on the news is just to get headlines so that they get ratings. If we really tune into that, it's not going to be beneficial. You need to dig for things that are going to be beneficial, that are going to be helpful and healthy to your soul, to your mind, to your spirit. You need to find people who are good at what you want to become good at. Even if you don't know them personally, look for ways you can start an acquaintance with them. Ask for their recommendations, their resources, tips. Remember that practical instructions, educational growth material does not sell as much as motivational entertainment. So you're not going to find it as the bestseller. You know, the bestseller is all about motivational entertainment. You've got, just like the goal that we're talking about in the earth, just like the goal that we're talking about on the inside, you're going to have to dig for some good resources. So be intentional about reading the right books. Books to help you grow. Select areas you need to grow. Look for those books that ratings are saying what they say, reviews, but also people you know. It's like, hey, you've been successful in this area. What are you reading? I need to know. See, becoming gold takes time. And you have to understand that people who are walking in success are still growing, and they are learning, and they have humbled themselves to know that though I'm not willing to just waste my time on everyone, when there's somebody hungry, I'll mentor them. But I need to be mentored myself. And so we're all working together to go towards success. But if you remain persistent in always making small improvements, others will eventually look at you as a gold mine. Is it not the goal? And Ian, if you don't mind, that next year we look different than this year. We should be aiming for change. We should be aiming for growth. I don't want to look at myself 10 years ago. Some things like make my head, like I shake my head, like what was I doing? What was I thinking? But see, if you have that revelation, then good for you, because you've grown. But let's not settle for everyone else around us. Let's look for those who are living at a level that we want to be at. And I'm not talking about covetous, and I'm not talking about greed, and I'm not talking about jealousy, but from a side of a healthy dissatisfaction of, I don't want to stay where I am. I want that. I want that for me. I don't want their success. I want my own doing what they're doing. So God help me. And I've asked Barb to have a testimony here. And Barb came to Destiny, 4 years ago now? 3 years ago? If you don't mind coming up real quick. 3 years ago, we talked about this, so. This is her debut. She came to Destiny like 4 or 5 years ago now. And I just wanted to start sharing testimonies so that we can actually see how these principles work and actually see what God is doing. So if you just take a minute or so.
Hey. I've never given my testimony before because I never really thought that I had one. I thought that you had to have this big dramatic thing in your life happen in order for you to change, like going from a drug dealer to not a drug dealer. So I was like, well, because I got saved at a young age, and that's pretty much where I stayed. And so I was a baby for so long, years, a lot of years. But, you know, I think that a lot of it was that I was only getting 2/3 of the picture. There's the Father, the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. So when you get 3/3 of the picture, it starts to open up your mind. So I came here and I just started, you know, learning about the Holy Spirit, you know, and that He's your helper, because I've always had this idea where you're just the mom. You're not going to amount to anything. There's nothing spectacular about you. It's just everyday ho-hum life. Struggle to get along. That's the way it's got to be. So, you know, you be a good Christian, and you suck it up, and you be humble. And that was the idea that, you know, this is so hard. How do these people do this? So I was at the point where it was just like this close to like failure to thrive, because there's just got to be more. So I was at church, and Pastor Aaron was talking about Malachi 3:10, and he was talking about bringing, you know, to the storehouse, you know, and he said, you test me on this and see if I don't open the windows and the doors. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm really tired, so you said that I can test you, so I am. So, you know, I started tithing. So, you know, I said, this is it, you know, it's on you. It's on you. And then I don't know how long it was, maybe like 2 weeks after that, because I was working at Rose's, $7.25 an hour, you know. And I mean, you know, it's a decent, honest job, and I'm not bashing it, but when you get a job offer for making $14 an hour, you're like, oh, wow. But, you know, it's more than that. So it's the Holy Spirit, you know, you get that and then you want more, you want more. I don't want to be a baby no more. So I'm growing and I'm changing, but it also takes obedience. You have to be a doer. So that's just, you know, I'm still being formed into my piece of gold that I'm going to be, but, you know, that's just the way it goes. But,
well, thank you. Let's give her a round of applause. You know, it takes gumption to get up in front of people, and so we love you, Barb. And what her testimony is just a story of is an average person doing what they do day by day, just like we all do. And when the Word of God is taught, it brings enlightenment. And then it compels you to do what it says. And so once you do it, you get past your comfort zone. You get past yourself as the source. That's when He shows up. And when her salary doubled, it also brought more than just money. It brought liberty. She was able to do things she wasn't able before, but then it also opened the door for relationships and networking. And her knowledge of the Word, her understanding and the revelation of the Word began to increase and increase. And so anything that you hand over to God, He's not just going to touch one little piece. It's going to affect your entire world. And so what we're teaching is nothing that is not impossible for anyone. This is just as much for me as it is for you, as it is for the person who's never heard it before. So let's stand this morning as we dismiss. And you have to know too that as we study and as we are in relationship with Catherine and Vidar, with Rhema Kenya, they've been teaching these principles in the most impoverished communities of Africa and Kenya. They have seen wealth show up because they're doing exactly what this is teaching us, the Bible. Obedience, work ethic, little things. Instead of looking at everyone else to take care of us, they changed their thinking. And they went after it, and God's been increasing them. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for what you've taught us this morning. As we meditate on what we've learned, I pray that you would help us to apply it. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, that as you minister to us this morning, help us, Lord, to be quick to make adjustments, quick to obey. And Lord, also I thank you, Father, for just confirming within us, Lord, that what we have been doing in line with your word is exactly where we need to be. And though we may not be seeing things immediately or at the time that we're expecting, I know, Father, that you're working. And so we remain steadfast, we remain in trust, we rest, because we already have the victory in you. So we're going to dismiss our Facebook family. We thank you for joining us this morning. Leave your comments in the field. If there was something that the Lord ministered to you about, we would love to hear. Also, if you want to give your tithes and offerings online, you can do so at destinychurchwnc.com. We love you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. If you want prayer, Pastor Aaron and I are available after service. But let's just lift our hands one last time. Lord, we love you, and as we go about our day, we thank you, Father, for bringing opportunities across our path for increase, for wealth, for provision, and we thank you, Lord, that in every household, we declare that every need shall be supplied in Jesus' name. Amen.